We started our sermon series about having a game plan. We must have a game plan for life. So I want to start today by posing a question. And the question is this: how smart are you? I want you to just think about that for a second. How smart are you? How smart are you? Now, in posing that question, I'm not asking about your IQ or how good at math you are or how well you did in school or your ability at crossword puzzles. I'm not asking any of those things when I pose this question, how smart are you? The question I'm posing is, how smart are you in the game of life? And I want you to think about that. How smart, every one of ourselves could ask ourselves that question. How smart am I in the game of life? Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's a good verse. I like Jeremiah 18:18. Jeremiah 18:18 tells us that there are basically three ways that God was speaking to his people. If you go into the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it says God, who at various times spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. In Jeremiah 18:18, it tells us God spoke three ways. He spoke through the priests of the Old Testament. He spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament. And Jeremiah 18:18 tells us that he spoke through the sages. Now, that's one we don't really know too much about. We probably understand a little about the priests and what they did. You know, they were involved in the religious life of the people, the spiritual life of the people. The prophet, you know, they came with a cutting word from God to turn people back to the Lord. But the sage, or we could say the wise people, we don't really hear too much about them. But the Bible says that those were the three avenues that God spoke. He spoke through the prophet, he spoke through the priest, and he spoke through the sage. So there's a lot that we can learn through the wise people. That would be the sage. Now, I want to bring your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And I want to give you some game plan verses, because I've entitled this message, The Game Plan for Life, Wisdom. That's it. It's wisdom. So I want to give you this this passage of God's Word in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And we will read verse 24 through verse 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man, a sage. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, we read that, and living in southeast Louisiana, we can identify with the rains and the floods and the wind. Can we not? We understand what that means. You know, so Jesus, in these verses, you know, he is giving us the game plan right here. Because he gave us the fundamentals of how to live life effectively and smart. He tells us that just hearing the message will not cut it. There's a lot of people that hear the message, but they do nothing with it. Are you like that, my friend? You may attend church regularly. We live in a day and age where people no longer attend church regularly. You may only see people and their members, their church members. I'm just talking about West Point. I'm talking about the church in general. They're members, but not everybody is committed to the local assembly. So you might not see everybody every week. Some may attend church once a month. Some you might only see on Christmas and Easter. I remember a guy in our church years ago. He was witnessing to his co-worker, and he was trying to get his co-worker to attend service. She had never attended a non-denominational church service, and he kept trying to tell her, you know, well, it's pretty lively, you know, there's like a full band, and people clap hands, they raise their hands and worship God. He was trying to give her a little bit of detail, and she finally agreed to come. She said, I'm going to come to your church, but I got to ask one question before I go. And he said, what is that? They don't handle snakes, do they? He said, oh, no. We only bring those out at Christmas and Easter. Thank God. We're smarter than that. How smart are you? I don't like spiders and snakes, that's for sure. Jesus has given us the fundamentals, but you can't just hear the message and not do anything with it. And I'm telling you, there are so many that are not doing anything with it. And Jesus has given it. He's given us the game plan for life. This is how to be effective. This is how to be successful. And God's definition of success is quite different from the world's. It's quite different. You know, because you don't have to have all of the wealth and the riches of this world to be effective and successful in life. Because effectiveness and success goes back to our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And building on the right foundation, which is the eternal principle. We've got to build for eternity. So he gives us the game plan, but we have to do something with it. We have to apply it. We have to engage it in our lives. We are the ones who are called to build. We are the builders. And all of us are building our lives in one way or another. All of us are in the game. The definition for the word smart from the English dictionary, it means mentally alert, bright, sharp in scheming, shrewd, witty, or clever. That's the English definition of the word smart. Now, one word really stands out there. It's that word shrewd. Because in one of the parables, Jesus was referred to as being shrewd, simply meaning that he was wise and he was smart. That's all it meant. Jesus is shrewd. You can research your Bibles and you'll see it's in one of the parables in the Gospels. All right, the word wisdom is the Greek word sophia, and it is the knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God, wisdom which is related to goodness. We could go on with a further sentence to that definition, and then learning how to regulate the circumstances of one's life. Did y'all catch that? Because I just said something very, very important. Because, my friends, if you want to have a game plan for life, you are going to have wisdom. You must be smart. And again, we're not talking about our ability in math or any of those areas. We're talking about how to live this life, how to navigate through this world. Wisdom, the knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God. Wisdom that is related to goodness. It's related to goodness. Let me ask you another question. Did you know that Jesus wants to be your mentor? Did you know that? You may have never thought of it that way. You know, we think of him as, well, we know he's Lord, he's Savior, he's King, he's Prince, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, you know, all of these things. But did you ever think that Jesus wants to be your mentor? He wants to be your mentor. And my friends, Jesus is the smartest and the wisest man that ever lived. He's the smartest and wisest man. You know, the Bible teaches us some simple fundamentals of victory and success. It says that you have to be careful who you hang out with. The Bible does tell, it teaches us that. You know, it teaches us that we have to be careful who we hang out with, because bad company corrupts good morals and lifestyle. So you have to be careful who you associate with, who you allow to speak into your life. You have to be careful what you allow into your life. You have to guard your eyes. You have to guard your heart. Bible teaches us that, for out of it are the issues of life. See, all of these are fundamental principles of having a game plan. And we're talking about the spirit of wisdom. Thank God that Jesus is wisdom, and he wants to be our mentor. Let me show you another verse of scripture. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. It says, the queen of the south, or it's the queen of Sheba, taking us back to 1 Kings chapter 10. You want to read that story about the visit of the Queen of Sheba when she came to see Solomon's palace. And, you know, people were always, in New Testament times, they were always making a reference to Solomon. You know why? Because Solomon was billed as the wisest man that ever lived. I often wonder, well, how did he end up with 700 wives and 300 side chicks? Hello, somebody. But yet he was billed 700 what? Do you play any dangerous sports? Woo, my. But yet he was billed as the wisest, the smartest, the wisest man that ever lived. And he was famous. And he was wealthy. I mean, he had so much money. I mean, just wealth untold. And, you know, his fame was well known. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba, who herself was a very high-profile person, she came to witness it for herself. And the Bible says that the half has not even, this was what she said, the half has not even been told. And the scripture says that it took her breath away. That's how impressed she was. You know, so Solomon was quite a guy. The wisest man that ever lived. And then we go to this statement here in Matthew 12, 42. The queen of the south rises in the judgment of this generation and condemns it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look at this. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And he was standing right in front of them. Jesus wants to be your mentor. Hallelujah. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is our wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom. This is not just intellectual skills. This is a spiritual discernment of life. Hallelujah. My friends, if you have a spiritual discernment of life, you are going to be effective. And you are going to prosper in your game plan in this greatest spirit of wisdom. And the Bible is teaching us that Jesus is the one. He is wisdom personified. It says so right here. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom. See, all of this is talking about our connection to Christ. It's talking about our intimacy to the Lord. It's talking about our relationship to Jesus. Hallelujah. That we are connected to him. That's why the Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to be your mentor. And you know why he's the greatest mentor in your life and in my life? Because Jesus is the greatest expert on you. You ever heard somebody say, well, we want to consult an authority on this subject? You know, and whatever that subject may be, you know, it could be in the realm of political science. It could be in the world of finances. It could be in the world of economics. You know, and so people will say, well, I want to hear from an authority on this subject. Well, Jesus, my friend, is an authority on the subject of you. Think about it. He knows all about you. He understands you more than you understand you, because he's an expert on you. Hallelujah. And Jesus wants to be your mentor. And he's the smartest and he's the wisest man ever. So if he's the smartest and the wisest man ever, why do we make such stupid decisions sometimes? Well, because it goes back to what we read in Matthew 7. There are many that hear, but they don't do anything with the message. Can I get an amen? It's not really shouting material right there, is it? Amen. But thank God that Jesus wants to be our mentor. Here's the next thing. See, wisdom is God's grace building the Christ life. Jesus is building you and I. How many of you know we are the church? Right? We are the church. The word church, Greek word, ecclesia. The called out people, the called out ones, the born again people of God. That's who the church is. We build buildings so that we can come together as a family. Every Sunday is a family reunion. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's a family reunion in the house of God. If we really looked at it like that, oh, I can't miss my reunion. I got to get to the house of God. I got to get with my peeps. Come on, somebody. Right? Hallelujah. Man, because we need one another. We need the strength, the encouragement. We need that, you know, that bond of what the Bible calls a like kindred spirit. Hallelujah. Because he's building. Jesus is building. He's building the church. So if we are the church, then Jesus is building us. And he's the greatest expert on you and I. Look at this verse. Man, I love this. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. New International Version. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Wisdom is God's grace. Building Christ's life. In accordance with the riches of God's grace. I love this next word. That he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He lavished. He lavished. That word lavish, it means to bestow something upon someone. It means to bestow something in a generous or an extravagant manner. I went to Marshall's with my wife a couple of weeks ago. She's searching for a rug for the kitchen. She found it. Found some shoes on clearance. Wanted to buy them. So we get to the checkout, and she says, "You got this?" And I said, "What? Say what? You got this?" No, I didn't say that. You know I didn't say that. "Of course I got it, honey. I got plenty of money." Oh, it was, you know, $100-something. Paid cash. Lavish. You know, this is an incredible word. How many of you realize, man, we should, as believers, we should want to bless people. If it's within our means, if it's within our power, we should lavish, especially men on their wives. We should lavish them, right? Lavish, man, whatever, give them whatever they want. Right? Give them whatever they want. Lavish them. Generous, extravagant. Listen, this is the very nature and character of God. The Bible says right here that we have redemption. I feel the Holy Ghost. We have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His grace that He has lavished. He has lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. Or we could say with insight. Check this out. Colossians 2:3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. All of the treasures. Jesus Christ is the source of all of the treasures. That word hid. Do you see that in Colossians 2:3? In whom are hid all of the treasures. That word hid does not mean that you can't find it. It literally means laid up, stored away, or reserved for you. I might just preach myself happy today. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. My goodness gracious. Hidden in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, laid up, stored away, reserved, because Jesus Christ is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. He's the source, my friends. This is why the Bible says in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, how many of you would confess with me today that I have not always made wise decisions? I'm making that confession for myself. I, Steve, have not always made wise decisions. All of us have that confession. The rest of you will repent after the service that didn't raise your hands. But all of us, at times, we have not made wise decisions. But the Bible teaches us that in Christ is all wisdom, all knowledge, all insight. And that's why I stay excited about the things of God. Even though I've been a student of Scripture for almost 41 years now. Man, am I getting that old? Elvis Presley's been dead 40 years. Did y'all know that? 40 years. Where is time going? 40 years. We only have... See, this is why the Bible teaches us. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Psalms 9. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. To apply it. Christ is the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. Let me give you another. Here's the next thing. Jesus, my friends, gives you and I the game plan of life. Thank God that He does. He gives us the game plan of life. I love the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to this. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." The light of life. He who follows me. Jesus said, "I am the light. And whoever follows me." And that's why he said, a wise man builds his house on the rock. The winds come, the storms come, the rains come. But it can't move that man because he is built on the rock. We know that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is the chief cornerstone, is what Peter said. Amen. He is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is the stress point for the structure. And you remove the cornerstone, and the whole thing crumbles. And is that not the problems we see in our world today? Is because people don't know Jesus. They might know religion. They might have some ideas and understanding about spiritual things. But my friends, it only comes through the person of Christ, because a greater than Solomon is here. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us the game plan of life. I love this, Proverbs 15:24, New Living Translation. The path of life leads upward for the wise, and they leave the grave behind. How many people are living dead lives? Dead lives. No life in them, no wisdom, no insight, no grace. Hallelujah. God says the path of life, it leads upward. So it's always advancing, always moving forward, always moving upward. Thank God for that. The path of life leads upward for the wise. Jesus brings us deeper and higher than we've ever gone. Deeper and higher than ever. All we leave behind is the grave and everything associated with dead living. Leave it behind. It's history. It's over. Life doesn't come with an eraser. You can't go back and change the mess-ups of your life, the failures of your life. And all of us wish that we could go back and do certain things different. I'm sure all of us have had, you know, that kind of thought, you know, that, man, if I've only done this way, or, you know, and then people live with guilt, and they live with regret, you know. But the Bible is so emphatic and teaches us this incredible message that when you come to Jesus, it doesn't matter how many years you've wasted, it doesn't matter how much time you've wasted, because there's a prophetic word. He spoke three ways, remember, priest, prophet, and the sage. One of the words of the prophet was this, is that I will restore the years that the cankerworm and palmer worm has eaten away. Amen. I will restore. Bible says that we can redeem the time because the days are evil. Because how many of you know, it does not matter how you start, it's how you finish. Just ask the Atlanta Falcons about that. Come on. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You might finish strong, but finish a mess. Or start strong, but finish a mess. You might start in a mess, but finish strong. Hallelujah. Think of the thief on the cross. He was a thief. All he did was steal. And then he finds himself, could you imagine that? Crucified with Jesus Christ. And then he recognized, we're getting what we deserve. But this man, He recognized and he said, Lord, remember me. Vision in the last moment of life. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day, do you see the power of faith? He had touched, at that moment, he had touched wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Just in a fleeting moment, the last breath of his life, he tapped into that wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We can't go back and change the game plan that was not a good one, but we can get a game plan from this moment forward. Hallelujah. And we can leave dead living behind, because the path of life leads upward for the wise, and they leave the grave behind. And we should learn from every mistake and every error. Some people seem to never learn. I might be stupid once, and I might be stupid twice, but by God's grace, I sure hope I will not be stupid three times. Hello, somebody. Are y'all with me? Let me bring you to the last and final thing, and then we come to the table of communion. And the last and final thing, again, I pose a question. Who are we in tune with? Who are we in tune with? Are we in tune with Jesus? Or are we in tune with this world's system? Are we in tune with the devil's lies and deception? Who are we in tune with? Because the Bible teaches us there are two types of wisdom. Did y'all know that? Two types. Two types of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Question mark. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. See, here's the problem right here in the world in which we live. And it is a Kardashian generation. Is it not? Kardashian. Shows you how much I watch those Kardashian. My real concern is that y'all know exactly who I'm talking about. Anybody ever heard of Jersey Shore? I didn't even realize that was a television program. Until I learned it a while back now, but I mean, you know, I'm thinking of the beach. You know, that place. But we live in a world, my goodness, the Bible nails it right here. We live in a world where people are consumed by envy and self-seeking. And there's a lot of drama in their lives. And we look at some of these reality TV shows that kind of illustrate, you know, what we're talking about here and what the Bible is addressing. You know, because, my friends, when you come to Jesus, envy and self-seeking is nailed to the cross. It dies. The old self-life dies on the cross. So who are we in tune with? there are two types of wisdom. And he's given them to us right here. Bitter envy and self-seeking. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Isn't that interesting? It uses the word sensual. That which relates to our natural senses. We always look at that word and probably put it in the realm of sexual problems or sexual lust. You know, things that are sensual. We live in a sensual world. And the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I cannot allow... See, if we're going to be successful in the game plan, then we've got to be smarter and wiser. Amen? Even Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be wise. Be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Don't have time to elaborate on that wisdom of the serpent today, but that's an incredible thing that he talked about. Two types of wisdom. He goes on next and he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Think about that. Confusion and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, secondly, then gentle, then fourth, willing to yield. That's a big one. I wish I had time to elaborate on these and expound these today, but we're out of time. Willing to yield, full of mercy, five now. Good fruits, six. Without partiality, seven. Without hypocrisy, eight. Eight incredible attributes of the Spirit of wisdom that will give you and I, my friends, an incredible game plan for life. And how to be blessed, and how to advance, and how to move forward. Because you are moving forward in life, because you are building on the rock. The wise man builds on something that is solid. Thank God that we can build on something that is solid. So what are we in tune with? Every one of us needs to ask ourselves that question. What am I in tune with? Am I more in tune with the spirit of this world than I am with the Spirit of God? Then I've got to make some adjustments. How many of you know sometimes you got to make adjustments in life? Amen? And sometimes it can be just some simple adjustments so that you can engage your game plan. Everything we need, God says, it's hidden in Christ. Laid up, stored away, reserved for every one of us. My friends, don't let anybody ever tell you you can't be successful in your life. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So many times we look at our social standing or we look at our education as being things that can hold us back. Can I tell you this? When you tap into the wisdom of God and you begin to execute this game plan, there are opportunities that will open up for you supernaturally. There are things that God will bring before you that you would have never even dreamed a possibility. And that's why the Bible teaches us that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. My friends, do you believe it? Do you believe that with God, all things are possible? All things. We must believe in Christ is hidden all of the riches of wisdom. I got to be in tune with that. I can't allow the junk of this world, the garbage that the devil wants to fill our minds with, the toxic things that he wants to get inside of us. We cannot allow ourselves to be in tune with any of that. We've got to be in tune with the wisdom that is from above. And we just read there's seven dynamics of that incredible wisdom. And God wants them to operate in your life and in my life.